The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
You had the highest EPR in the NFL this week. Was that the best game of your career?
Man, I still don't know how to read the QBR thing. Honestly, man, it was just a game where we executed in tough situations, the third downs, fourth downs, red zone, and you know we could still be better. I think we were like 2 for 5 as far as scoring touchdowns in the red zone. So we want to improve in those areas. I really don't even know much about QBR, honestly. The guys did a great job of just making plays when we get the ball to them, and that's what we talked about all camp, all spring, just get the ball to these guys and let them make plays.
Well, QBR is a compilation of a large variety of statistics based on 100 being a perfect score, and despite a quarterback rating, which is based off of like four things, Tyler, which is kind of like, really? Does this matter that much?
Yeah, what is it? I seriously have no clue either. I really don't.
QBR?
What's the difference between that and what's the other one?
Quarterback rating.
The index, the quarterback rating.
Quarterback rating.
Right, but then there's the index, right?
Yeah, you know, the passer rating. Rating or QB rating is based off of four things. And that's where like a perfect game is a crazy number like 158.6. And the four things that it's based off of, I don't know what it is off the top of my head. I'm sure we can look it up.
Yeah, no one knows. You just look at it and you're like, oh, that was a good game. That was a good game.
You know, that's nice, man. You didn't have to do that.
Oh, yeah. You know,
that's all right.
It's cool because D-Mac was actually going to donate that to Pedal with Columbus. So that's cool.
Thank you, CB. Yeah. That's cool. We on for next week?
What do you mean he didn't have to do it? He did have to do that. He lost a bet. Of course he had to do it.
Yeah, that's all right.
You got to pay when you lose a bet.
Oh, I know.
Feels good. Hey, you did all right this week, man. I was proud of you.
I just tucked that away. I'm sure I'll be paying it back shortly.
That's the way these things go, buddy.
Yeah,
I'm
not going to spend that.
I put it in the pocket of my work bag,
right.
And I just leave it there,
right.
So we can just give it back and forth a few times this year.
The less my wife knows about anything, the better.
Oh, let's not talk about it. My bad.
The QBR ESPN came up with a while ago, and it's, you know, it's based on 100, and it's based off of a million different things. I think it's a more fair representation of how you really did as a quarterback that particular week. I think it's better than the quarterback rating, but okay, fine. And I'm sure there's people on the text line that are telling me how wrong I am about this, that, the other thing. But with all that being said, QBR, Teddy Bridgewater had the best QBR of any quarterback in the NFL this past weekend. How about that? He was number one.
I love it.
So on the way they analyze quarterback play by the nerds and the analytics, Teddy Bridgewater was the best quarterback in the NFL.
There you go.
How about that?
Fantastic stuff. I'm sure you did know the answer to it when you asked him if that was the best QPR he's ever had in his career.
I actually do not. I did not know the answer. Don't know the answer to that.
It probably was. I mean, it honestly probably was. And the crazy part about it is that it could have been even better. How does it factor into it if KJ Hamler catches that touchdown? What's that do to the QBR? I don't know. Lord knows what these indexes are.
It's a touchdown.
I don't know. All I know is that he played a damn good football game. Was he the best quarterback in the NFL last week? I don't know. He was up there, though. I mean, that was an elite category. That was an elite performance. If you play like that all year long, you're going to win a lot of football games. I know that much.
He's a humble guy, that Teddy Bridgewater. I really don't know if that was the best game of his career, although I'm wondering how many games he could have had that were better than that.
You know, really hard, like, unless you're watching it start to finish and knowing based off of how did he escape the pocket, like, what did he manipulate? Did he extend plays? Did he throw things that were off schedule? That was part of what made this game so special, is that he did things that if Patrick Mahomes was the one doing it, ESPN would have been running it for a week and a half straight. Seriously, like, there were some moments where Teddy was giving a stiff arm, bouncing in and out of the pocket, running off to his right, throwing cross shoulder, like the type of stuff that you see Patrick Mahomes do, and it would be on ESPN for a week straight. That's what made this game so unique for Teddy, because Teddy's not really known for stuff like that. So I don't know if it's literally the best QBR that he's ever had.
Well, I guess it's
but
not.
I bet it's the best overall performance.
Right.
You're just using your eyeballs.
Well, Kevin, man, talk about fast research. Kevin, you said that that's his 10th best QBR of his career. So he's had 9 other better QBR days.
Well, there you go.
All right. Okay.
Well, it doesn't surprise me because what that stat is, even though I don't fully understand it, what it mostly is it's telling you, was the dude consistent? Like, did he complete passes? And we know that Teddy, he completes passes all the time, right? It's the intangibles that are tough to put into an index.
Do you know who had the lowest QBR in the league this past week? Take a guess.
Trevor Lawrence.
Why would I be saying it in such a snarky manner if it was not
Aaron Rodgers then?
It was Aaron Rodgers.
I don't appreciate that.
I'm sorry, Aaron.
Oh, by the way, did you see after our conversation yesterday?
Maybe. Go ahead. Keep going. Maybe. I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, yesterday when you were talking about how you didn't think that Aaron Rodgers was into football because of his appearance and mm-hmm. that the appearance was an issue for you, that it just felt like DGAF, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Well, he shaved the beard off. So he's cleaning up. Didn't get rid of the hair, but he did shave the beard off.
And that tells you, well, that's exactly what I was talking about. That is exact. You got to change things up. You got to mentally get yourself in a different place.
I can't believe that actually happened after that conversation.
That's literally what I was talking about, though. So I don't care if you have a beard, if you have long hair, if you have purple hair. I don't care about any of it. What matters to me with your mental frame of mind is when you change your physical appearance dramatically for one reason or another. Shaving your beard after having a beard for a long time is absolutely a significant, I got to shake things up. I got to mentally,
you
know,
get myself
together.
Well, you didn't even notice that I got cleaned up today, man. I mean, like I got that beard way cleaned up again, you know. It's like I just expect that you would notice. Like,
no,
I thought
noticed.
You would see.
You look good.
I thought when I walked in, you'd be like, Tyler, like, you're taking this show more serious today because you got your beard cleaned up. Like, obviously, you are in it today. This is going to be the best show of our entire career so far because you got yourself groomed.
But how does my beard look?
Terrible.
Right. So don't hold out hopes.
It looks like the old D-Mac. Like, honestly, like the old D-Mac used to have that beard all the time.
Oh, this boat's not big enough. I know. I'm going down that path. This is just pure laziness, though. Although you could say, what's going on with you? Why are you a little bit more lazy? What's happening right now? That's probably a fair question. And you're probably right. I probably need to, you know, tighten it up a little bit.
Okay.
It's a fair question.
It is.
I always tell you what you look like. I was going to mention something. I've told you before, when you shave up like this, you do look skinnier. So you do look skinnier today.
Yeah, naturally, when the beard grows out and
but
it turns into a giant bush.
But you're getting it, it's like more like pointed. It's like angular when you do it this way, too.
Yeah, I trim up the tops.
Yeah.
I keep the length a little bit. You although, know, how many inches do you think came off today?
Probably.
We measure it. I like to measure it.
2.5.
You're about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost on the button.
Yeah. I kind of... Does your wife like it like this?
Oh, my wife is, like, she's hard to please. Very hard to please in a lot of ways in life. Hard to figure out sometimes.
Deeper conversation.
Because she definitely doesn't like the full beard, like, where it was before. Don't think she even likes the beard where it is right now. But then one time I just went in the bathroom and I just shaved. And I just went, like, bald. And she wouldn't look at me for, like, 3 days. Mm. And so I can't quite figure out. Maybe it's me. Maybe I just got to work on me.
I didn't catch the Aaron Rodgers shave job, though. We'll see if he gets his hair cut. We'll see what he does there. But, I mean, that's something. He must have just been like, oh, my God. I really got to get my act together. Seriously.
It actually is amazing that happened right after that conversation. And I did think it was ridiculous. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought it was ridiculous that you would think that meant anything. But, hey.
It happened.
You know what?
It happened.
The fact that he did go out and shave the beard the day after one of his worst performances of his career.
Right.
I'm not going to ignore that. Okay.
Right.
Like, yeah, I think that he was trying to make a statement. Like,
right.
Like something's going to be different.
Yeah, he's good. He's. It is very likely he's been cruising a little bit or he's been dissatisfied with being there. And he probably realizes I am about to embarrass myself if I don't really lock in. I mean, I'm not happy here can only go so far. There is a certain amount of work that we all know is true that goes into leading a team to an NFL victory. And if you, one of my biggest memories out of covering Peyton Manning all those years would be you guys and the teams previous to you with Peyton were so good, Tyler, 12 wins was such a guarantee almost every year. Us in the media, us muggles, us jerks, would actually ask questions like, yeah, you won, but it wasn't this, yeah. It wasn't that. And Peyton Manning would say in a new suit every Sunday, I don't think you all understand how hard it is to win an NFL game.
Yeah,
period.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you don't take any of these for granted.
Well, I think that's a really interesting observation in regards to this team right now. Like, what Teddy just went out there and did, he just set the bar so high that if he doesn't play like that again, even if he's winning football games, but he's not playing like that again, are people turning their backs on Teddy? I don't know. I mean, he just set the bar really, really high. If you go out this weekend and you beat Jacksonville 17-10, are you feeling good about it? Or now are we expecting more because we had such good quarterback play and we've got a good defense, so on and so forth, right? Like, is this team, after one victory, in your mind to the point where a win could not be enough to just be totally satisfied by what's going on?
You know, when Peyton first started, you know, basically chastising the media for questioning, you know, the validity of wins because the opponent was weaker, I was like, okay, all right. But as time has gone on, I actually have a deeper appreciation for it.
Heck yeah.
And I feel winning any NFL game, I don't care how you do it. It is hard. I don't care who the opponent is.
I promise you, they all feel the same. You win that game, I don't care if it's Jacksonville, I don't care if it's the Patriots. You win a game, whether you blew them out or whether you won at the last second. You get in that locker room and the jubilation is real and it feels the exact same. It is hard. They are hard to come by. You know, there's only been one win in my entire career that I could think of in which it was like really somber. I've had games where certain guys were somber because they had a bad game. The team won, but they had a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
2015, when we beat the Browns, that was a weird locker room, man, because we lost that game about 12 times over. Peyton was out there struggling. He just clearly was not himself.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed just some really lucky moments. We won that game. It's the only game in my memory bank that I could think back on. I'm like, wow, that locker room was weird. And it just stood out to me. Like, we just won a game and nobody feels good.
Yeah, I remember that game because the Browns were kind of a pathetic team and you guys were steamrolling people, or you should have been.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a wake up like, oh, man, this was supposed to be kind of a dominant season here. And maybe things are going to be a little trickier than we all thought. We won, so okay.
I see. It's funny because the locker room was super somber, but inside my head, I was thinking this is the team. Like, I was. Like if we could survive like this, a game that we were supposed to lose 12 different times over, if we actually won this is by far going to be my best opportunity to win a Super Bowl because we've just got the ball bouncing our way this year.
The drinks for to get you the cold brew thing.
Oh, I love it.
All right. Is that
I
what
love
you,
it.
But I've never ordered that for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, so this has kind of been a new kind of indulgence of mine.
Did I get the right thing? Because I didn't even know.
Yeah, you got it. Sweet cream cold brew. I've never had this until like 2 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, something like that. And I've been getting it nonstop now.
Okay.
It's definitely a lot of calories in here. I usually go with the straight Americano, just black, no sugar, no cream, because there's very few calories in it. You got the most sugary drink you could possibly get.
Me?
Yeah. Hey, is everything all right, by the way?
Pumpkin spice latte would be the most sugary thing.
That one's up there.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Are you okay, though? Like, I noticed like a couple days in a row now, something weird's going on.
With what?
Yesterday you had a Snickers. Today
I didn't have a Snickers. I had a protein bar.
It looked like a Snickers to me.
Trust me, it was a Think protein bar.
All right. I'm just just checking in, making sure everything's okay. I mean, the beard's growing out.
I have a protein bar every day at 4:30.
You said that I should judge people when their appearance changes.
Your
appearance doesn't look the exact same. So I'm checking in as a friend, making sure everything's okay.
I am getting some cold drinks. I'll have coffee later, but. Little boost. I was on the bike today. I ran and biked today.
Good for you.
Yep, and I'll bike home in the darkness. I got to get going, though. I was, like, delaying things. I'm riding home in the pitch black freaking dark. Stupid. Dumb. I have no lights either. I look like an idiot out there.
Wow, you even got me venti. Thank you.
What size should I got you?
No, I love the Venti.
I still don't know what
I'm
the size.
I'm a tall dude.
Well, that's the lucky thing, because I get confused. I just want small, medium, or large. I still get screwed up by that.
Well, you got the large. I'm a large dude. Yeah, good guess.
I think I got Kevin and Richie smalls. What did I get you guys? I don't know. I have no idea. Small, tiny?
Americano?
Yeah. Size. What size are you?
The smallest one. Grande or tall.
So you're saying you're the smallest size there is?
Yeah, I think we should talk something through here. Like, this is like I love the coffee bets. I don't want to slow down at all.
Oh, we can stop anytime
you want. No, I definitely don't want to slow down because I win all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think we should, like, consider maybe only every other coffee bet we get Richie and Kevin the coffee? Or should we continue down this road of just extreme generosity?
Look who's trying to bail out. Look who is trying to cheap out right now. Did an ape sale? Did a fake pony sale go poorly? Was there a crooked unicorn that just didn't get all its value?
Yeah, no. I just thought I would have a conversation.
You're trying to cut Richie and Kevin out of the deal?
I mean, just the amount of copies that they've received for never participating is just mind-blowing.
Never?
Wow.
Oh, Richie, you have. Yeah, you have. And you've also contributed. I'm trying to think if Kevin's ever...
No. I brought chicken fingers in that one time.
No, that, I wasn't here.
There you were.
No.
I brought them in. D-Mac didn't eat.
No.
That's right.
All right. Well, look, I mean, you do whatever you want to do. I'm going to think about it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Guys, it never even crossed my mind.
For the record, I have always said that the things
you have
between you guys, it does not have to include me.
These guys have never asked about it. They've never asked about it.
Well,
never...
see, it's funny because I didn't say that they had. I was just having a conversation between you and I.
Okay. Well, do what your heart says.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think my heart's saying to buy it every other time. Yeah, I think that's what my heart's saying.
Okay. Well, tomorrow I got it again. That was... bad beat. Melvin Gordon.
Not even close to a bad beat. You lost by the first quarter.
Terrible beat.
You knew that you lost the premise of that bet by the first quarter.
The worst of beats.
Are you kidding me?
By the way, I dug in on the PR PR thing with the Jaguars. Kind of took a... it was on like little bunny hops. It kind of took off like a Elon Musk rocket today.
Kyle Berry's got you guys back, by the way. Kyle says you guys deserve the coffee. All right, Kyle, buy them dink coffees.
An update on what, Richie?
Well, I told you guys earlier that the PR person for the Jaguars who decided to go round for round with Kliss and Ryan O'Halloran, Amy, she put it out there that most of the teams aren't even doing the conference call this year. And I thought that was worth looking into. So I sent out emails to the head of PR for every team remaining on the Broncos schedule. And I've gotten a few emails back.
Okay, let's hear what's what.
So I've gotten 6 emails back so far. And 2 of them have been flat out yeses. 2 of them have been flat out nos. And then 2 said it's a case by case basis. But
well, tell us who the yeses and nos are.
The Steelers said yes.
Okay.
The Eagles said yes.
Okay.
The Chargers said flat out no.
Okay.
Washington football team said pass.
Okay.
The Ravens and the Cowboys both said we're taking it on a week-by-week basis, but if the other team is willing to reciprocate it, we're pretty much going to do it. So that's
the Chargers said no?
That's fascinating. So
Brandon Staley, who used to coach here, they said no to him?
What we just learned there is that she was telling the truth. The majority of teams are either no or thinking about it on a case-to-case basis, right?
I mean, you could look at it as the majority are yes, because they said that we are planning on doing it as long as it's reciprocated and if there's
interest
in the other team.
You've only got like 6 teams there, so we don't have
most,
a huge
I'd
sample
say
size. But
some.
Well, hold on. 2 said yes.
But Joe Judge
two
already
said yes. 2 right, said fine. No, and 2 said it's going to be on a week-to-week basis.
Okay, Joe Judge did it last week, so you can throw the Giants in as a yes because they've already done it.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, that's all. I mean, for her to say teams.
All I'm saying is that based off the sample size we have, that's literally 50%.
Well, I mean, are we including the Giants or not? I don't know. This is a silly thing to get into. We don't know if it's most or not. She was way over-exaggerating what she was doing. And by the way, it did not go over well with basically everybody. Like, she made a mistake. And I was talking to somebody with the Broncos today, and they're like, I cannot believe she didn't go to Urban Meyer. And she just put that out on her own. I mean, you just don't do that. You at least go to the coach and tell him what you're going to do. You don't go out there and say, I made this decision for this guy. Listen, I just think, again, this is a small crack. Things are askew in Jacksonville already, Tyler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And you did your own research on it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of problems out there in Jacksonville. I personally think that this media thing is pretty silly. If I were a head coach, I wouldn't do media unless I was required to. There's no chance. I mean, I just don't want to do it. So if I'm not required, I'm not there. But there's a whole lot of hot mess going on down there in Jacksonville. You know, I, as a player, we used to get these packets when we'd walk in the door. And it, if you wanted them, they're sitting there on the front desk. And it's a packet of all the daily stories, both from your market and your opponent's market. And it'd be this big, thick packet. So you could take it and you could cruise through it, see all the headlines. And it was kind of part of my routine of preparing. I wouldn't read all the articles, but I would read the headlines. And I'd figure out if there's if somebody's got an injury, just anything you could pick up on, right? And so now, in the role that I've got now, I still kind of do that. But I go on Google now and I just go into the news search and I type in Jacksonville Jaguars. And so I typed in Jaguars today. Dude, this is the list of headlines that I got back. And I'm telling you, I didn't have to cruise to find these. These were on the front page. Number one, didn't take long for Meyer to hit rock bottom. Apparently, Urban Meyer's hit rock bottom after week one out there in Jacksonville. Number two, unhinged Meyer already creating massive issues for the Jags. Number three, Urban Meyer ducking Denver media. Number four, Urban Meyer era begins with discord and Jags morale has already suffered. I mean, those are the headlines. That's what's going on. Those are the team, like, friendly articles, sites that are writing about them. And that's the stuff that they're talking about right now.
Boom. Week one in Jacksonville. And these are the headlines.
I love it. And I'm trying to figure out what.
Under pressure already.
Oh, there it is.
The now Jaguars.
Thank you.
Did you think it was Ice Ice Baby?
I did. I totally thought it was Ice Ice Baby.
Well, I think he's from Jacksonville too. Pressure. Urban Meyer. It's a disaster already. He did come out today and say he was not going to take the USC job. And not the Denver media. God forbid he
asked a question. Well, I've heard stuff like that before.
I'm getting a... I don't know if I can say his name on the air. Oh, I'll wait on that. I think I'd be okay saying Arnie's name on the air. Oh, I just did. Yeah, Jacksonville's falling apart. You know, this is, you know Arnie Stapleton from AP?
Of course I know Arnie. I'm going to see him tonight.
Unfortunately, I'm finding most teams aren't making the head coach available, so she's right.
Ah, see, so my prediction is going to turn out being right. If coaches have a choice, no way are they going to do media. You just wouldn't believe me on that.
No, I don't know. It's new rules. But it's on us journalists who aren't asking for it as much as it is on the coaches. And then Arnie says something else, so I won't say that.
I totally believe that. I mean, football coaches don't want to talk to media unless they have to. And I get it. It's 6 minutes. It's 8 minutes. Whatever. Of course, they've got the time.
It was interesting in Pro Football Talk because they pointed out that, one of the reasons, especially with these out-of-town conference calls, is that the out-of-town journalists will ask very direct questions because they don't have to bother with, seeing these coaches day after day after
all
day.
All the more reason
day.
Why I wouldn't want to do it.
Well, okay, so, fine. So, if you're so you a don't coward, have... if you don't want to answer questions
please,
directly.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? If you're a coward? No, I don't want to talk about nonsense. I don't want to talk about noise. And if people, especially out-of-town media, that they don't have any concern about my program, I don't care to talk to you. Like, I got stuff to do. I got film to watch.
You'd be a nightmare as a coach for a PR person. Oh, my God.
You would
be a nightmare.
Why do you think the majority of coaches are not going to do it this year? I'm not thinking alone like that. I'm thinking like football dude.
You're thinking like a football dude, which can be a nightmare for the PR people.
Well, you know what? Our job as football dudes isn't to be concerned with the PR.
All right, but the last note on this one, though. Fine. Okay. Most coaches aren't doing it. But why is your PR person fighting battles on Twitter with journalists in another city? I mean, what the hell's the point of that? And to me, that goes to the degree that they've got issues there in Jacksonville in terms of just how they do everything.
Oh, of course.
How they communicate.
They don't know their routine yet.
Correct.
You can see that in film. You could see it on offense. You could see it in the illegal formations. You could see it in the way they're communicating on the sideline. Urban Meyer has got a college process that he's trying to adapt to the NFL. And things will probably be different next year. But this first year, without a doubt, you're right. I mean, they're figuring things out on the fly.
All right. This is all good news, by the way. All of this crap is good news, and we'll dig into it, especially on the field on a What to Know Wednesday. But up in the water cooler, gosh, can we even talk about Nick? We can? We got thumbs up to say it? Really? Seriously, okay. Well, wait till we can talk about with Nick Saban, and KJ Hamler's not going to drop any more footballs, and he has a unique way to make sure that doesn't happen. Details next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Well, you know from those Affleck commercials, Nick Saban is he's quite the cut-up, Tyler.
Yes.
I mean, he is those commercials are hysterical.
I actually kind of think he is funny. That too.
They are so funny.
I find grumpy dudes funny. I got a soft spot for him.
You know, it's funny, those commercials, though, he is a grumpy dude. But I think he's trying to, you know, play off of his grumpiness.
Right.
He actually doesn't look like a grumpy dude.
But really?
He's not, like, physically. You think he, like, looks physically
super
like
duper grumpy.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. You kidding me?
I saw you look kind of preppy.
See
and
it in the ring, like just the upside down, like, frown all the time.
To me, Vic Fangio looks like a grumpy dude. Like, Nick Saban, to me, looks like somebody you're just hanging out with at the golf club.
I don't know. I don't get that vibe. I don't have that vibe from Nick.
It's impossible to look grumpier than Vic Fangio.
Oh, I'm not arguing that Vic looks grumpy. Vic looks grumpy.
He always looks so grumpy.
Sure,
man.
He looks grumpy.
Let me tell you, the dude, like, I mean, he does smile every now and then, but boy, oh boy. It's almost every day with Vic. It's like,
Vic cracks a lot of jokes, though.
He does, in kind of a grumpy way.
Yeah.
He does.
It's my kind of humor.
But apparently, Nick Saban is a cut-up. Here is Josh Jacobs about Nick Saban. This is on the Dan Patrick Show.
Biggest difference between Nick Saban and John Gruden is what?
John, I think John is more funny than Coach Saban. But there's a lot of similarities, the way that they, like, prepare and act to a certain extent. So I'll probably say that's the biggest thing.
What's your favorite Nick Saban story?
Ooh, see it.
You can say it now because you're not there. He can't punish you.
Saban's just like, he likes to do a lot of like these nuts jokes. It's funny because like I haven't heard one of them since like middle school, and then Saban, when I went to college, Saban used to do it a lot.
So wait, give me one here.
All right, so one day I caught like five passes in a row. And he was like, hey, Josh, if you want to hold all the balls, hold these. I said, what? So I just sat there. I sat there for a second. I was like, did he really just say that?
Wait. He was doing these nuts to you?
Yeah. I was like, Coach, I ain't heard that since middle school.
Oh, gosh.
That's one of the great stories about Saban I've ever heard.
Well, there you go.
Dude, that's fantastic. That makes him more likable, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah,
get
sure.
Get old D's the jokes?
Yeah, sure.
Can we say that? Like,
I don't know.
I know we played it.
Why don't you play it?
But are we allowed to say it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel better if you say it, not me.
Yeah.
KJ Hamler.
Have you seen D's?
KJ Hamler. Oh, sorry, what?
Never mind.
KJ Hamler, very somber today. You know, I think of KJ Hamler as being upbeat and kind of, you know, laughing a lot and, you know, kind of ribbing guys. But he stepped up today. Tell you, Broncos PR doesn't mess around. You screw up, get ready to the face the music. You drop a pass or you screw something up. Hey, man, welcome to the media. So they got KJ up there today, and everybody was asking him about dropping the passes, and here's how he handled it.
I've always been hard on myself, so even after the drop, I was still thinking about it, stuff like that. But, you know, when that third down came and I caught that big catch for the third down, you know, you got to know when to drop it out, and then when you can bring it back up. Because after the game, the next few days, it was still on my mind. You know, I came out here on Monday, and I told one of the assistants just throw me 100 over the shoulder balls, like deep balls, and the wind was blowing the same way it was. We were in New York, so it was kind of perfect. So just to get that repetition, you know, so I won't drop that again, because that's not my forte.
He wasn't joking around today. No, it was pretty serious today, Tyler.
I like it. Yeah. You know, sometimes I wonder, like, when you have a drop like that, are you better off just acting like it never happened? When you go out there and you catch 100 balls, like, okay, that's cool. Like definitely, like, I'm glad you got the right mindset and everything. But sometimes I just like, hey, dude, just, it didn't happen. Like, you're better than that. Like, don't go out there, put something in your head. Don't be so concerned about it that you feel like you need to punish yourself or catch 100 balls that you know normally you would. I mean, you throw that ball to KJ Hamler 9 times out of 10, he's going to catch it, right? And sometimes when you overcompensate after the fact, I just worry that that gets in your head, that now it's in my head moving forward.
Well, he did make a big catch after that. I hope not. I mean, I think KJ Hamler is incredibly talented. By the way, KJ made a point today. He has changed.
Crushed that drink. I mean, just crushed it. Gone. Yeah.
KJ made a point today to say he is, his health and nutrition, he's taken a different approach to. Completely different sort of thing. So his hamstring's feeling fine. Have you noticed that? He's been good. He hasn't been hurt, that sort of thing. So,
well, that's good. Yeah, I mean, he's been battling hamstrings, I feel like, since the day he got here. He's probably still going to continue to battle it. He was early in training camp, like the first day, like the first practice, he had an issue, but he hasn't had anything since then.
Teddy talked about KJ.
KJ just got to be KJ. And he's a special player. He's here for a reason. He's explosive. He's dynamic. He's shifty. He can catch the ball well. He runs great routes. And that's what we expect of him this week. You know, we don't need him to come in and try to be something that he's not, and he doesn't have to pretend to be something that he's not. If KJ can be the best version of KJ, he'll help this offense go, and he'll continue to grow in the system and in this league.
What do you think they're going to do without Jerry Jeudy, Tyler? How do you think things are going to look?
You know, I think they're going to be fine. Tim Patrick's going to step in, and he's going to play at a very high level, because that's what Tim Patrick does, you know? Cortland Sutton, you know what's going to be really fascinating, honestly? Who does, do you think Teddy's going to lean more on Tim Patrick or on Cortland Sutton?
That is a great question. Brandon Stokely spoke about it. He's got an opinion.
What did he say?
We'll find out what he's saying about that coming up next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Dude, I got a couple things for you.
What's up? What you got?
There's, you know the song, it's not Jeremy by Pearl Jam, but, or as, Stokely would say, Jeremy by Crowded House. But you know the song Everlong by Foo Fighters?
Yes.
It has resurfaced on music charts, even though the song's got to be 20 years old or something.
Why? Is it redone or something?
Kind of. There is this British girl who's like 12 years old. Her name is Nandi Bushell. And she, during COVID... Now, there you go. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah.
She, during COVID... She's an amazing...
She's the one that did the Fleetwood also?
I don't know.
It might be.
She does... She's a drummer, and she plays other instruments too, but she's a great drummer.
Okay.
And she was challenging Dave Grohl to drum battles during COVID.
Oh, I love it. And he accepted?
He has accepted, and they've been kind of going back and forth for a long time.
Nice.
Just a couple weeks ago, Foo Fighters played a show in L.A., and she's from England, and they invited her out, and she played this song on the drums. She's 12, and she crushed it. And the video is all over YouTube. I swear to God, it's one of these things, if you watch, if you don't get choked up, like a little emotional, like watching this, I don't know what's wrong with you. Because it just shows you, to me, things that are possible and how to make the best out of a bad situation. And just really seriously, how stupidly talented young people can be and what they can do when they set their minds to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love it. No, there's a lot of good stuff that came out of COVID. I love all the interaction. Like, it almost brought, like, celebrities, famous people. It brought everybody closer. Just, like, the everything was tangible and within reach in the electronic world.
It's just crazy that a 12-year-old girl, little girl, could do this on video, post it, and then, you know, a few months later or whatever, she's playing this song on stage with the Foo Fighters.
It's cool.
It's awesome. So check it out. That's a great YouTube watch.
That's not the girl I was thinking of with Fleetwood, but that's a cool story.
The other thing, you got to see the 30 for 30 about the Mets, the 86 Mets that aired last night, at least the first part of it. I don't know if there's got to be a second part of it because they only took it to July of 86. Dude, these guys were on uppers, coked out, alcoholic, sex addicts.
Wow, sounds like a good time.
Who were winning baseball games left and right in New York City. It is stunning.
Well, Daryl Strawberry was on the team.
Daryl Strawberry was the star of the team.
Sounds like something he might do.
And Keith Hernandez. And the only one that was like the straight lace was like Gary Carter. And
dude, there's stories about like in the middle of the game. Like having women like in the dugout, like calling them out from the stands.
Yes!
Like, hey, come on down here.
Did you see
like,
that?
Oh, no, well, I haven't seen it, but I know the story.
Between innings?
Yeah, yeah. Like he would like point at a girl like in the stands. Like, hey, come on down. Let's say hi.
And then
go back in the clubhouse in the middle of the innings.
It's like David Lee Roth during a drum solo of Alex Van Halen underneath the stage.
That too.
I'm telling you. I hadn't heard that. I get it after games. Okay, fine. Between innings during the game? Wow. My jaw was dropped hearing these stories. And Davey Johnson, their manager, you know what he said? I don't care as long as they show up and they perform.
Well, that was the old like Dennis Rodman approach, right?
Who cares?
Like, hey, if Dennis needs to go to Vegas in the middle of the season, he needs a couple days to get away. I don't care. Just come back and give me Dennis Rodman. I need the other Dennis, right?
Man, oh man.
Guys were treated differently, and you know why they were able to do that differently back then for the biggest reason. What do you think the biggest reason is?
I don't know. Why?
There were none of these. There were no cameras, cell phones.
There were no recordings going on everywhere you went.
Like in today's day and age, if Dennis Rodman went to Vegas in the middle of the season, you would have 450 cell phones on that dude every inch that he went. You would know everywhere he was, everything he was doing. But back then, you didn't know. So you let guys get away with stuff.
Well, a couple of recommendations for you out there. Just between innings. Just crazy. All right, Brandon Stokely about this receiver situation, and this is what he had to say.
If he's not your number one, that means Judy is your number one. That means Cortland is back to being the number one. How important is Cortland Sutton here in the next 3 to 4 weeks?
Very important. My question to you, though, is I kind of think Tim Patrick's the number one.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
I think that my eyes tell me that what you just said is fair.
That's why I said it. That's what my eyes are telling me. That's what we saw, you know, from Tim Patrick last year. When you look at it, and if you're going to rank them, I'm putting Tim Patrick at one. I got to see it from Cortland before I can say, okay, yeah, I really trust him to be, you know, that receiver that we saw 2 years ago. And I haven't seen it from him. So how can I trust it?
What do you think?
Well, I think it's an interesting observation. You know, I was coming at it from a little bit of a different angle, but we are arriving at the same spot. So I don't think that Tim Patrick is a better football player than Cortland Sutton. No, not even close. Like, even right now, I don't think that Tim Patrick is better than Cortland Sutton. Maybe. Now, if you're just telling me that Cortland's not healthy, fine. But I had a different angle on it in which, you know, you could tell from day one that Teddy Bridgewater had a different connection with Jerry Jeudy than Drew Locke did, right? When Drew was out there with Jerry Jeudy, they weren't on the same page. They just struggled to connect, and things just weren't vibing. Cortland Sutton was Drew Locke's number one. Jerry Jeudy was always Teddy Bridgewater's number one. So now that Teddy's number one, Jerry, is not playing, you know, who does he default to? Does he really even think of Cortland like that? I know Cortland's a captain. They walk out on the field together. They go out to the 50-yard line together. He should think of him in that light. But I could just see, you know, if you had already bypassed Courtland in your own mind to Jerry Jeudy, well, maybe I'd like the other dude more too, right? So it ended up at the same spot as Stoke, just a little bit differently.
When Bridgewater missed Sutton on a very deep pass early in the game, it really did feel, I heard the Zoakley show talk about it, that on that particular play, just didn't feel like Sutton had those afterburners. And I thought the same thing when I saw it, and it's the same exact thing that I was picking up, Tyler, during training camp.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't treat Courtland Sutton the same way that you treat KJ Hamler. You can't throw the ball the same way. Like, they're different players, they're different skill sets. When you throw the ball to Courtland Sutton, you put it as high as you possibly can, and you give him the jump ball, right? When you throw the ball to KJ Hamler, you throw that ball as far as you possibly can, and you let him go catch up to it. So that's as much on the wide receiver, or excuse me, on the quarterback as it is the wide receiver, because that's not Courtland's skill set. Like, he's not going to catch up to the deep ball, but if you put it up high, where only he can catch it, he'll come down with it.
I just think I'm not trying to compare my injury to a professional athlete's, but I know when there's such high expectations of how quickly you come back from an ACL, because some guys have come back relatively quickly, less than a year. And this is me, not a professional athlete. But Tyler, I didn't feel right for well more than 2 years after my surgery. And I think it's fair to say it takes some guys longer. That's
sure.
All.
No,
I think it is taking Sutton just a little bit longer to be 100%, to be really what he once was.
Sure, of course. Everybody's going to heal at a different pace. I mean, no way. Like, and I'm totally fine with you using your own experience, but I mean, there's no way you could compare like an experience that you had with the professional athletes, because you didn't live day and night with the sole purpose of trying to get better, right? And you didn't have the resources available that these guys do, right? And you didn't have an NFL training room and people that their whole job was to make sure that you are better, right? It was a very casual approach, and I'm sure casual isn't the right word, but it was not life and death for you to get back to 100%. So athletes are a little bit differently. That doesn't mean that they're all going to heal at the same pace, though.
Yeah, I think what I'm trying to say, and maybe I'm saying it too awkwardly, but what I'm trying to say, it's making me more sympathetic to guys, and I'm being less judgmental of guys that have these type of injuries. Even though it looks like they can play, I understand when they're just not just all the way back, even though they can actually still play. And it does strike me that Courtland right now is kind of like that. Like, well, there is a difference between 75% and 95%, something along those, and never mind 100%, which will probably never be.
I agree with you. I don't think Courtland looks like he's 100%. I don't think that at all. But that's also part of why I was so surprised that he was voted captain. Like, it just didn't make sense to me. Mm. Why was Courtland Sutton voted team captain? Why?
Like I really don't know, actually. That's a good question.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, on the surface, he's not the best wide receiver in the room right now. On the surface, he isn't healthy. Like, there's a deeper level of respect that's going on that maybe we should pay more attention to.
Yeah.
If Courtland was voted captain in the midst of trying to come back from injury and not being himself, maybe we're bypassing him a little bit too quickly with this Teddy Bridgewater conversation.
Okay, well, let's look at the Jaguars. Let's get into them. It's a What to Know Wednesday. We'll go through the offense and the defense. And folks, stick around. You are going to want to hear this. Talk about good news on a Wednesday. It doesn't get much better if you're a Broncos fan in football at 4 next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.